You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome in to Outkick the Show. I'm your fearless leader, Clay Travis. I hope all of you in the 15 states and American Samoa that had a primary yesterday went and voted. I did. I hope you did as well. Prize, we got a lot of stories to get into of a variety of topics, but right off the top, I want to tell you Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Over 3 million members, and unlike other apps out there, on Prize Picks, it's just you against the number. No sharks, no competitive leagues. It's you against the number. Does a player get more or less than the number that's set? You can win up to 100 times your money with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000. Whether it's basketball tournament season, fight for playoff home court, no shortage of high-stakes basketball this time of year. We're into March Madness. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks. Turn your latest hoops knowledge into serious cash. They've got everything, though, whether it's basketball, hockey, baseball coming up soon, golf. We're going to have the Masters very soon. You can pick any athlete out there, whether it's women's college basketball, Caitlin Clark, as they roll into the tournament, or whether it's Connor McDavid, you can get hooked up. I'm going to give you what I believe is my favorite pick that I have had so far. I have got 3 winning picks for you. I'm going to give them to you halfway through the show. In the meantime, download the app today. Make sure that you get the Prize Picks app and use the code OUTKICK. First deposit match up to $100. Code OUTKICK. Deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Must be present in certain states and Canadian provinces. Void where prohibited. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right, let's dive in here. Nikki Haley has dropped out of the race. Dean Phillips has dropped out of the Democrat side of the race. We now are set for Joe Biden going up against Donald Trump after Donald Trump romped 14 winning states. A lot of Democrats in Vermont moved over to the Nikki Haley side. Nikki Haley has dropped out. What's going on here? As we sit right now, 8 months out from the election, Donald Trump has won, and I jotted this down because we were talking with Ryan Gerduski. In the last 44 national polls that have been out since January, this was yesterday, Donald Trump has led in 38 of them. In only 6 of them has Joe Biden led, and in the individual swing state polls, Trump is up even more. I think what has happened is, not that people have changed their opinion about Donald Trump, people have changed their opinion about Joe Biden. Joe Biden has gone from plus 10, 52 to 42 in October of 20. Basically, do you like Joe Biden? He had a plus 10. Now he's got a minus 21. Trump has not changed at all. Trump has gone from down 10 points to Joe Biden in likability to having a 10-point lead. And that basically is the election. So what's going to happen? I still think Joe Biden's going to get pulled off the ticket. And there was a big New York Times editorial today addressed directly to Dr. Jill Biden, using Ronald Reagan and Nancy Reagan's relationship as an example, arguing that Dr. Jill needs to convince Joe Biden not to run in 2024. The pressure is going to get ratcheted up, I think, to a massive degree. And if we don't see substantial movement in these polls by the time we get to Memorial Day, I think that's going to crescendo to the point where Joe Biden is going to announce that he's not running, that he's freeing his delegates, and, as Maureen Dowd argued, that he believes that the best way for Democrats to win in 2024 is to pick someone new to run against Donald Trump. That is where I think we are headed, and I think it's going to lead to a really interesting place, because right now what we're seeing is everybody out there is trying to run the, on the left, they're trying to run the Donald Trump is Hitler, right? Julian Castro said that on MSNBC yesterday. His rhetoric is Hitlerian. And I just have to kind of laugh at this, because Donald Trump actually right now has more Jewish support than Joe Biden. I would love for somebody to just push back and be like, hey, by the way, you know that all of Israel hopes that Trump beats Biden by and large, right? Actual Jews in Israel overwhelmingly support Donald Trump against Joe Biden. And you realize that in the most recent poll of New York State by Siena College, Trump was winning Jewish voters 53 to 44. Now, I wasn't around in the 1930s. I'm not sure how reliable polling was in Germany in the 1930s. I don't think there were that many Jewish people that were big supporters of Adolf Hitler. I don't think that majority of Jewish voters in Germany were like, you know what, I really like this Hitler guy. He seems like he's got a lot of great ideas. I also don't think that Hitler had a Jewish daughter and Jewish grandchildren. Just kind of going to toss that out there, which Donald Trump does. Of all of the attacks against Trump, the idea that he's somehow similar to Hitler is maybe the most ridiculous of all of them. It's just on its face farcical. And I think this is representative of how few ideas Democrats actually have. Trump is now winning, according to the New York Times Siena poll, with Hispanic voters. He's potentially going to set record high support for black voters. He has a majority of Jewish support, as I just said, in the most recent poll in New York. Trump is increasing in a massive way his support of minority voters. And he's on track in 2024 to end up with more minority support than anybody in the modern history of the Republican Party. I think that's kind of significant. And I think it's evidence of why this is not working. And I think you're going to see increasing desperation on the left as their Jan 6 case and as their abortion case and as their Trump is Hitler case, it really is not registering. People care about immigration. They care about inflation, the economy, security, safety, violence. This is all very important, and Trump is winning on all of these issues. And so I think you're going to start to see more and more desperate attacks. But the Trump is Hitler attack level, to me, is going to be really bad. And you're also seeing, again, MSNBC, CNN, all of them are starting to panic. Now, on the Nikki Haley front, she's got to endorse Trump. I think it's a bad look. I tweeted last night that before she dropped out this morning to her credit, but Nikki Haley was down 70 points in the fourth quarter of a game with 1 minute left, still using her timeouts. This has been a foregone conclusion. I think she got really bad advice. If she had run this well, as soon as she lost New Hampshire, she would have dropped out and endorsed Donald Trump. And I think if she had done that, then I think there's a possibility she would have been in the cabinet. Maybe she would have been considered in a serious way as vice presidential candidate. Instead, she dropped out without endorsing Trump. I think it's a bad look for her. And I think all of her advisors have given her really bad advice along the process. And I don't know how all this is going to play out. So that is my analysis of Super Tuesday, everything we learned last night. I wanted to hit this case. I don't know how many of you saw this. And when we clip it and share it shortly, I think this is such a fascinating case. And I want to make sure that I grab it and get this correct. Obviously, I don't usually talk about high school basketball. But we've got a story that is out there right now. High school basketball. I don't know how many of you saw this clip. I want to make sure that I get the schools correct. Dan Wetzel, I saw, was who shared this. And I'm probably going to screw up the pronunciation. Manasquan High School beat Camden in a New Jersey state championship process. I think it was to maybe advance to the championship game. They clearly made a buzzer beater that would have given them the 47-46 lead. You can watch the video yourself in the short clip version that we share of this. I want everybody to be able to see it. The officials met after the game and waved off the basket and said that the shot happened too late. What should happen in a case like this? I think it is a fascinating dispute. Again, this is not a regular season basketball game. This is a tournament win and you advance, lose and you're out situation. We have a clear video. This is not a judgment call. Hey, was this goaltending? Should the foul have been called or not called? We have a clearly made basket that is shown from a courtside video. Clearly the shot is off in time. There is zero argument to the contrary that I have seen. What should happen? I think they should change the outcome of the game and let the team that made the shot that the officials got wrong advance. And I understand for some of you that's going to be controversial because they said on the court then, hey, the shot wasn't good, the other team won. But to me, when you know that you have clearly had an error and the error is depriving the team that should have won of the opportunity to advance and continue to play, and we're not talking about a judgment call, because again, when I say judgment call, I mean I lost $30,000, some of you will remember, on the fact that there wasn't a flag thrown on the clear pass interference against the New Orleans Saints, sorry Saints fans, in their game against the Rams advanced to the Super Bowl. It was wrong. The judgment call was inaccurate, but it's a judgment call. And there are judgment calls that are missed all the time. But here, you know that the shot clearly was off in time and it should have been ruled a good basket and the wrong team is advancing and being able to compete for a state championship. To me, this is not a difficult decision. They should take the team that made the basket that the video shows courtside would have and should have counted, and they should allow that team to advance, and they should change the outcome of the game. I don't know if they're going to do it. I don't know if the courts are going to get involved. I'm not an expert in New Jersey high school athletic associations. I'm not sure what sort of appeals are possible to a result, but this was a clear error in judgment by a high school official. I would hope that the officials feel awful for having gotten this wrong. I think that they have to fix this. I think that they should rectify the wrong. Seems like an easy solution to me. So that, we'll share that clip. If you haven't seen it, OutKick has got the story up right now. I think it's a great debate. Perfect sports talk radio topic. If I was doing sports talk radio, I probably would have spent 45 minutes on that story this morning and taken calls on it. My general belief, maybe I'll put up a poll question about it after we share this video and my opinion on it of what you guys think should happen. But to me, you rectify the wrong. I don't think it's a very difficult choice at all. Big story. This is on the front page in the Wall Street Journal this morning. Dartmouth men's basketball team has voted to become a union, and they believe that they now deserve treatment as employees as a part of a union. They're the first college basketball team, to my knowledge, to vote to become a union. It is inevitable that college athletes are going to have to become employees, in my opinion. That's what's going to happen in college football. I think that's what's going to happen in major men's basketball. But it's also important to recognize not everyone has actual value as a college athlete. And I don't mean the game itself is not valuable or that your individual talents aren't worthy of commendation. I mean you wouldn't get paid to do it. There's relatively few athletes, Power 5 conference typically, and it's almost all men's basketball and football, where there's actual value for the individual athletes. I don't understand what the point is of Ivy League kids who aren't even getting scholarships. Now, sometimes that's not fairly characterized. They say, oh, they don't get scholarships. But they get advantage on admission, the college basketball players do in Ivy League schools. And they also get, oftentimes, they're covered for the cost of tuition because a lot of times their parents don't make enough money to be able to have to pay, right? So they get financial aid. Different than a scholarship. So if you were Elon Musk's son and you played on Dartmouth, you wouldn't get covered. But if your family's not wealthy, you would get oftentimes a scholarship. Like, my parents didn't make a lot of money. I would have gotten a scholarship even if I had been good enough to play college basketball because my family didn't make enough money. Like, we would have qualified on FAFSA. I don't think either of my parents... I know neither of them ever made $50,000 a year in salary. So if you're below a certain threshold at all Ivy League schools, you no longer have to pay. That would be the case. I'm quite confident here in general, everybody out there who wants to kind of contemplate and think about this. This is where we're headed, but Dartmouth doesn't make sense at all. If this was an SEC school, I'd take a step back. I'd say, okay, this is intriguing. Big 10 school, Big 12, ACC, maybe that would be an important precedent. Not much of a precedent here. I was going to talk about this yesterday. Russell Wilson is out with the Broncos. The Broncos traded for Russell Wilson, gave up, correct me on this if I'm wrong, 2 first-round picks, 2 second-round picks, a 5th-round pick, and 3 additional players. They got back, I believe, a 4th-round pick and Russell Wilson. They also then signed Russell Wilson to a massive contract that now still has $85 million outstanding. This is up there. It's not Herschel Walker to the Vikings yet. I am stunned at how poorly this has turned out. I thought Russell Wilson to the Broncos would have worked really well. But this is up there as one of the worst trades now in the history of the NFL. 2 first-rounders, 2 second-rounders, that should be 4 starters at relatively low-cost contracts. And also then 3 additional players. This is one of the worst deals ever, to say nothing of all of the costs right now that are going on. Here's what we got. I was right. Broncos got Russell Wilson and a 4th-round pick. The Seahawks got Drew Lock, who played well, by the way, and started a couple of games. Shelby Harris, Noah Fant, 1st-round pick that they used to take Charles Cross from Mississippi State. 2nd-round pick, they took Boy Maffey, I don't know how you pronounce his last name, from Minnesota. They took Tyreek Smith from Ohio State in the 5th round. Those were all 22 picks. Then they took Devin Witherspoon in the 1st round in 23. And they took Auburn, Derek Hall, a rush defensive end in the second round. It's a lot of picks, to say nothing of the lack of flexibility that guaranteeing, I think they paid him $85 million still, that he costs on the salary cap after these 2 years. It's one of the most devastating trades of all time. And some of you responded, well, how would you contextualize this compared to Deshaun Watson? I believe I'm correct that the Texans got 3 first-round picks from the Cleveland Browns. And Deshaun Watson has been a disaster. Deshaun Watson's only 28 years old right now. So maybe he could still end up, and they guaranteed him $250 million, whatever, all that money guaranteed. That has the potential to be up there with the Herschel Walker trade as even worse. The Browns, though, still have the potential for maybe Deshaun Watson can get back to the level of play that he had as a 25 and a 26-year-old because he's still in his 20s. And I think most of the issues that you're seeing right now with Deshaun Watson are mental, not physical. I think he hasn't recovered from all the allegations against the woman, from his dispute with the Houston Texans. All of that, I think, continues to make an issue for him. So we'll see how all of that plays out. But this Russell Wilson trade, I want you guys to think about this. There are not very many examples. I was talking about this with my kids last night. I can't think of someone who would have been 100% a Hall of Famer. If Russell Wilson had said, you know what, I'm going to hang it up. I've taken a lot of hits. I don't feel like I have a lot of gas left in the tank. I'm going to retire as a Seattle Seahawk. He would 100% have been an NFL Hall of Famer. Is he today? I think it's a really interesting question. Can you think of anyone that has played himself out of the Hall of Fame by continuing his career when if he had just retired, he would have been a Hall of Famer? I can't think of very many guys, if any. And Russell Wilson may have done it. We'll see who gets him next. The Steelers, maybe. That's probably who I'd put as the favorite to get him. And maybe with Mike Tomlin and that great defense, although the Bronco defense is not bad, maybe he remakes his overall performance and comes back to somewhat the Russell Wilson that we saw in Seattle. I think it's worth saying, hey, in the same way that we looked at Bill Belichick without Tom Brady and reassessed his overall head coaching ability, should we look at Pete Carroll now and ask the opposite of this? How much of Russell Wilson's success should have been attributed to Pete Carroll as opposed to Russell Wilson? It's sort of the opposite of the Brady situation. Maybe Pete Carroll looks better given what he was able to do with Geno Smith with Russell Wilson gone, whereas Bill Belichick looks far worse given the success that Brady had when he went to Tampa Bay. I think that's an intriguing discussion worthy of contemplation. I talk all the time about how the NBA has blown itself up. Caitlin Clark, we had a discussion earlier this week about Caitlin Clark versus Pistol Pete. Caitlin Clark, 3.4 million people watched her final regular season game, Iowa women's basketball. I believe they were playing Ohio State, who also has a really good women's basketball team. I didn't watch it. I think I was running around somewhere on Sunday or Saturday, whatever day this was happening. But 3.4 million of you watched. 3.4 million. That beat Warrior Celtics, which had only 3 million viewers, and the Nuggets against the Mavs, I think, was the other game that was the nationally telecast NBA game, had only 1.7 million viewers. This, I think, is going to be a big story with the NCAA men's basketball tournament starting in a couple of weeks as well. People like basketball. What does it say that the NBA's brand is so bad that women's college basketball is beating the WNBA head-to-head? I think that is a fascinating question that is out there. Men's college basketball is setting all-time highs. Women's college basketball is setting all-time highs. Meanwhile, the NBA is still setting all-time lows. It's not that basketball has an issue. It's that the NBA has an issue. People still like basketball. Speaking of liking basketball, 7 o'clock Eastern. That is what, like 4.5 hours from now. I am going to be sitting down in front of my television watching Tennessee go on the road against South Carolina and try to win the SEC championship outright. Tennessee, 5.5-point favorite. I like Tennessee outright to cover that 5.5. Couple of good games, by the way. UConn and Marquette. UConn on the road against Marquette. I'm going to take Marquette plus the points in that game. Coming off of a tough loss, Marquette is. Those are the two best games that are going on. One will be on FS1. The other will be on ESPN2 tonight. So I'm going to sit down and watch college basketball. I'm going to take UConn, and I'm going to take the Vols. But here is, I'm convinced, maybe the greatest Prize Picks pick that I have ever made for you guys. All right, are you ready? This pays off at 5-1. I am convinced that this is utter brilliance. I think Tennessee is going to score a lot of points. I think they are going to win this game by double digits. If you take these picks, use the code OUTKICK, you take these picks, pays off at 5-1. They'll give you $100 if you sign up, prizepicks.com, code OUTKICK. Dalton Connect, more than 21.5 points. Dalton Connect, I think he's going to go off. Didn't have a great game on the road against Alabama Saturday. I think he goes off in a revenge game against South Carolina. Vols lost in Knoxville earlier this year, 63-59. Woeful performance. Probably the worst game Tennessee's played in the SEC. I think Dalton Kinnick goes off more than 21.5 points. Jonas Adu. I saw this number, and I said, are you kidding me? Jonas Adu has been dominating. I feel bad taking the money out of Prize Picks' pocket. More than 11.5 points. And this one, I'm telling you, the guy is a whirling dervish. He is a pint-sized dynamo. Zakai Ziegler, more than 21.5 combined points, rebounds, and assists. I am putting $100 of my own money. In fact, I may make it $1,000 of my own money because I am so confident in this pick. All three of these are going to hit, and we are going to get back 5-1 on the payout. PrizePicks.com, you can get $100 free dollars if you go and use the code OUTKICK right now. That is PrizePicks.com, code OUTKICK. More on Dalton Kinnick, more on Jonas Adu, and Zakai Ziegler, more on 21.5 points, rebounds, and assist. Must be present in certain states and Canadian provinces. Void where prohibited. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. All right, a couple of other stories that I told you I was going to talk about, but hopefully you'll be sitting and watching that game with me tonight. Mark Cuban has endorsed Joe Biden, says he doesn't care about Joe Biden's physical condition at all, doesn't care about his health, because he's that much better than Trump no matter what. Mark Cuban's brain's broken. I mean, again, I used to love this guy. If you went back and you listened to Clay Travis on the radio when I first started going on the radio back in like 2007, 20 years ago, if you read me 20 years ago when I first started writing online, all the way back in 2004, if you consume my content, you would have heard a lot of super positive things said about Mark Cuban. I think Donald Trump broke his brain, and I think social media doubled down on breaking his brain. And he now is endorsing Joe Biden. Joe Biden's the worst president in any of our lives. I said earlier, New York Times making the case to Dr. Jill Biden, if Joe Biden actually cared about America, he would not be running in 2024. He can't do the job. I think Joe Biden couldn't do the job of Walmart greeter right now. I don't think Joe Biden could stand at the front of a Walmart store and shake hands and not fall over. I don't think Joe Biden has the capability to actually be president of the United States right now. And Mark Cuban has to know that. So the fact that Mark Cuban would be endorsing Joe Biden and would even be saying, I don't care about his mental or physical fitness because I think he's so much better than Donald Trump, is just further evidence that Mark Cuban is the shell of the man he used to be. I actually feel sorry for him. Because if you're a billionaire and you are so captured by the woke ideology that you won't even speak truth, what's the point of being rich? If I ever, ever am sitting down in front of a camera or a microphone and don't say what I think because I'm worried about it costing me money, I'll retire. Because the minute that I'm not being 100% authentic and honest with my audience every day, what's the point? I got enough money. I can't spend what I have now. Why in the world would I keep doing this just to put more money in my pocket? I care more about being honest than I do about money. And I think that's why I have money. And I think that used to be the case for Mark Cuban, and now he's given up and he's just a shell of himself. Speaking of a shell of himself, I was watching the testimony earlier today, Fannie Willis, Nathan Wade. The judge in this case, in my opinion, it is beyond a shadow of a doubt that Fannie Willis and Nathan Wade should be removed. Will he have the courage to do it? There is no doubt that there is an appearance of impropriety here. There is substantial evidence that Fannie Willis hired Nathan Wade, paid him $650,000 after she had already begun to engage in a affair with him. She hired her lover and gave him hundreds of thousands of dollars in taxpayer money. And then she sat down I believe, under oath and lied about it. And so did Nathan Wade. So I don't even think this is a hard case. The appearance of impropriety is substantial enough that both of these individuals should be removed from the Atlanta, Georgia case against Donald Trump. But even if the judge applies, McAtee, I believe is his name, even if Judge McAtee applies the more significant standard of is there an actual conflict, the preponderance of the evidence in this case clearly establishes that these individuals had a relationship before she hired him. That standard, I believe, is also met. So whether the standard is for a conflict out of a case, the appearance of impropriety, or an actual conflict, I think both of those standards are clearly met. I was watching the conversation. I was watching the testimony this morning in front of the Georgia legislature by Ashley Merchant. There's no doubt here. Fannie Willis and Nathan Wade have to be off this case based on the appearance of impropriety and the actual conflict standard. And I believe they should actually be charged with the crime of perjury and potentially obstruction of justice. I don't think this is going to end with them just being off the case. The evidence to me clearly establishes that there is a reasonable probability that a crime has been committed by these individuals. They should lose their jobs as DAs, but I think they should also be charged with criminal offenses and face disbarment as well. All right, my name is Clay Travis. I'll be on with the Hot Mic guys, Hutton and Withrow, a little bit later in the show. Reminder, Dalton Connect, more than 21.5 points. Jonas Adu, more than 11.5 points. And Zakai Ziegler, more than 21.5 points, rebounds, and assists. I am making those picks tonight. I hope you will make it as well. It's going to pay off at 5-1. DBAP, unless you need to SBAP. My name is Clay Travis, and this has been OutKick, the show.